Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 403. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 244, A Multiplicity of Kevin.
And we are seeing the return of the boy who was last revealed to be a child version of Kevin from the Desert Otherworld. And the boy has now decided it's his task to kill the adult Kevin because there can only be one.
Yep. So he's locked himself into Carlos's lab, and Carlos is yelling at him through a megaphone outside saying there's a lot of fragile stuff in there, please don't break anything. And Tamika Flynn is also yelling. She's trying to keep the boy safe, but also I think she's just having a lot of fun yelling on the microphone.
Yes, it's a very fun picture, the idea of dueling megaphones going on. But Tamika's telling him, it's like, I'm not your mother, but I am your guardian, and I think we should talk. Do you have a megaphone? They make your voice really loud. It's fun.
We go from there to the community calendar. Monday, there's going to be band practice. Do not go into the band area while this is going on. And when it's over, the whole band area will be under renovations and repairs. And I'm like, well, yeah, that sounds like the band practices I know of.
Tuesdays is Denny's all-you-can-eat special. So make sure you eat everything that you possibly can because you won't get anything else for the rest of your life.
Yikes. Wednesday was at the community theater, they're doing Godspell, but it's like a non-immersive experience where basically a bored teenager is going to read it aloud while not looking at you and playing on his phone. And I thought, yeah, that'd work.
I especially like the fact that it's a bored teenager reading the Wikipedia summary. It was so cool when I found out that other people like doing the thing that I like to do, which is to read the summary of scary movies that you're never, ever going to watch, but you're still kind of curious what happens. So yes, I have read the summary of all of the Saw movies, and I have watched none of them.
Oh God, how were the summaries? Were they awful?
They're pretty disturbing, yes. I mean, you don't have to watch people screaming and being tortured. That's the thing. You can find out what the hell's going on, because it feels like it's sort of like hovering over me with the idea of, what if it's terrible? What if it's nightmarish? I gotta find out what's happening.
Okay, I can see that. That's fine. Thursday is Cecil's day off. Do not do anything that might be newsworthy. Maybe just stay in bed and hum so that you don't interact with anybody. He feels that if you do anything newsworthy on his day off, he will take it as a personal affront.
Friday is volunteer day at the Night Vale Community Garden, and they will bury a volunteer in the soil. And they really need someone to sign up for this, because if not, they're going to volunteer somebody, and hooded figures will show up at your house in the middle of the night and drag you away to the soil. So yeah, maybe somebody should just go ahead and sign up for that.
Yeah, let's just get it over with. Saturday is RC car racing at the vague yet menacing government agency offices. I don't believe anybody is allowed to watch that for any reason.
No, he said that even knowing that this event exists is very hazardous to your health. And Sunday, there is a little girl in Grove Park, and you can't really focus on her face, and she lures you away to the forest that you didn't actually remember was in Grove Park, and then it just goes on from there for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it for the community calendar. We've got more news. The boy, he's successfully opened the portal, and he's shouting for Kevin, and nothing is happening, and that makes the boy furious, and he's shouting out, "You are afraid," but Cecil's not sure if he means adult Kevin or if he's talking to himself.
Interestingly, also, the boy deliberately does not step into the Desert Otherworld because he knows that time moves differently there. And remember, Carlos was there for what Cecil thought was a few months, and it ended up being something like 10 years in the Desert Otherworld. So at least the boy is aware of the hazards. I'm pretty sure Carlos is not happy about this being opened in his laboratory.
No. So now we have a message from the Night Vale Medical Board, basically that kids are people too, and they need to sometimes be taken to the doctor, and Dr. Jen would very much like you to bring your kids to her.
Yes, and she's got her office set up in the old factory out in the wasteland that people don't remember ever being built, but somehow it was just kind of there, and it's perfectly fine. Hardly anybody ever disappears, and the ones that do disappear, they come back as screaming faces in the windows of the upstairs of the factory.
What was the name of that one woman who wrote the ghost story books that we read when we were at Granny's library?
Oh my goodness. I think it's either Catherine Wyndham Tucker or Catherine Tucker Wyndham. I had one of the books that I found at the thrift store, but it didn't have the stories that we remembered reading when we were growing up, so I kind of lost interest.
Gotcha. I remember one of them was a story about a little boy who had died in the upstairs of this one building, and you could still see, like, the image of his face burned into the glass. So that's immediately what I thought when I heard that one.
Wasn't that the one with a horrifying drawing? Because I remember there being one about a criminal who had been convicted, and he was, like, protesting his innocence, and he'd fled to the upstairs, and, like, the town was going to set the building on fire, and there was this really scary drawing of him screaming his innocence from the upstairs window. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that nowadays people talk a lot about, you know, oh, let's not give these kids these books because it might be too scary. I'm like, I don't know. We read some pretty messed up stuff.
Sure did, yeah.
And we turned out fine. Anyway, so, update, a figure is finally approaching through the other side, and it is adult Kevin, but all he does is he comes right up to the door, doesn't go through, and he sits down cross-legged to, like, look at the boy and basically saying, you know, put the knife down, little boy.
And the boy is not putting the knife down, and Kevin says, well, I don't need a knife. I've got my teeth. And Tamika is starting to freak out, so she's declared a state of emergency in Night Vale, so there are sirens everywhere, including the types of sirens that lure sailors into the watery depths, that sort of thing. So all sorts of terrifying sirens. And then we have a message from the sponsor.
It's Cat Phone. Where is your cat? They could be doing anything. You're a terrible cat parent. You need to keep track of your cat. So that's why we're introducing the first cell phone for cats. Will they answer? No, of course they won't.
The cats just do not have time for anything to do with you. They barely acknowledge your presence anyway. So, but the company that makes the cat phone doesn't have any responsibility for the actual usage. So, cat phone, the new phone that your cat can ignore you on.
Okay, come back. And huge news, Kevin has actually stepped through the door, and the boy, of course, immediately tries to stab him, but Kevin is way too fast and sidesteps it pretty easily.
And bites him! He bites the little boy and draws blood, and the boy stabs him again, and Kevin manages to disarm him, and then he bites him another time, and it's just, yikes!
And they, in the process of fighting with each other, they actually knock out the security cameras, and so Cecil is going to have to get those, I don't know, put back on or something, and in the meantime, he takes us to a segment called Cecil Rants, which he hasn't done before. And it's interesting. It's that age-old thing where they're like, why do hot dog buns come 8 to a pack? And non-fat Greek yogurt only comes in one big tub. That makes no sense.
So it's basically a very threatening message to the company that makes the Greek yogurt, because once you poured all your Greek yogurt on one hot dog bun, what are you going to do with the other 7 buns? I mean, we want our yogurt slathered on a hot dog bun, so we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
He apologizes for ranting and says, I know I'm speaking for a lot of you out there. I'm like, are you?
Anyway. I don't know. Now I'm kind of curious about what Greek yogurt would taste like on bread.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so the door to Carlos's lab opens, and who steps out but adult Kevin? And he is pretty covered in blood, but it's not really apparent as to whether it's his blood or someone else's.
So Kevin starts to speak, and we'll tell you what he's saying when we get back from the weather.
So we go to the weather. It was If You Want to Die by Brooke Pridemore. And I wrote down folk with synthesizer and electric guitar and tambourine.
Yep, kind of a sort of eerie kind of background music to it. It's a very quintessentially Night Vale weather music, basically. Mm-hmm. So we actually hear Kevin speaking, and it is Kevin R. Free, the voice actor, and it is so lovely to hear from him again. But he is asking the question, can people change? And the thing is, people do change all the time, but they want everything to stay exactly the way it is.
He's sort of bringing this up because he says, does the boy want to change? I don't think he does. He wants to do the same thing that I want to do. And he's apparently not going to be stopped in that. And he says, you know, I'll see you soon, Night Vale. But when I come back, I won't be alone.
Yep, this is not something that he can handle alone. And when Cecil goes into Carlos's lab, the boy is there. He's obviously a little hurt, but not too badly, but he's crying, and he's also determined. And he says, I wasn't strong enough, but I will be the next time.
Yep. I wonder if the boy's going to maybe go through the portal on purpose. I don't know how that would work. If you can, if he could get adult Kevin into our world for a while the boy goes into the other world for a bit, that means the boy will probably age a lot faster and Kevin won't. And so then they'd be on the same thing, and maybe we'd get Kevin R. Free doing both voices for an episode. That'd be fun.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. That's it. That's the end of the episode. So the saga continues.
Yeah, I still don't think Carlos is going to be happy because I don't know that they said that the desert otherworld portal closed by the time the episode finished. And we already, Cecil talked about when the boy and adult Kevin were fighting, and when Kevin managed to disarm the little boy, the boy started chucking beakers at him, and Carlos in the background, "No, I told you not to break the beakers."
Poor Carlos, all this is happening in his lab. Oh dear. So, only thing I wanted to mention, I did actually finally finish watching the final season of The Crown.
Oh, okay.
There were some good episodes.
Now, you had mentioned that there was some storytelling thing that they did that really irritated you, and maybe to a lesser extent it irritated Hannah, and apparently they did it again in the final episode?
Yeah, this episode of Vague Cast, I don't want to spoil anything, but I felt it actually worked, this little storytelling trope. They did it again in the final episode. I felt it worked better in this episode than it did earlier. I don't know. It's whatever. When you see it, you'll understand what I mean. Sorry, guys. I can't get into spoilers on this one. But yeah, it was good. The final episode, I thought, was good. But I thought one of the episodes that came before it was actually a lot better, to the point where it was really like a kicky in the feels type of thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's an interesting combination with what's going on with the royal family right now. I mean, I don't think King Charles has made an appearance for a while, and Princess Kate has not been seen for a while, and she released a family photo that had some really obvious signs of being Photoshopped. So now there's a lot of people who are like, Kate, blink twice if you're being held hostage.
Yeah. So there was on Twitter, it was going crazy all over the place, that there was going to be a official royal family announcement today. It was going to be a big deal. And I'm looking for it right now. And it's saying that, I don't know, they're on alert for a possible announcement, but I don't know. It's apparently unfounded. It was just a rumor that went kind of viral and everything. But it does seem to be not viral. I've looked and I've seen this in a couple places. I'm always very worried about deepfake videos these days. Apparently, former President Obama did actually visit the UK Prime Minister today. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea. You figure there's got to be a connection? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, the rumors going around that Charles is dead. The more believable one is that no, he's not dead, but he is very sick, so he's planning to abdicate, which would mean William would have to take the throne, but Kate doesn't want to be the queen or the royal consort or whatever the title would be, because either William's cheating on her and or he's been physically abusive to her. I don't know. All of this stuff is like, I like that article that you had sent making the comparison about pandas and the royal family.
Yes. The idea that the royal family, they're like pandas. Pandas would not really be alive today if it wasn't for human intervention. And we keep them alive because we like looking at them in the zoo. And yeah, it may be a very comfortable zoo, but they're still in the zoo. But now that they're not there, it's all these tourists standing around going, where are the pandas? Why can't we see them? The old panda was always on view. And also now that they're not here, we don't have the distraction of all of their little antics. So now we start asking the question, why is there even a zoo? And I thought, ooh, that was nicely worded. That was a Vox article, by the way. I'll put a link in the description. I thought it was really well written.
It was, but it definitely pointed out the fact that, yes, Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, was like always in view. And yet at the same time, she stayed out of making, you know, political statements whenever she could. She did not try to get her family front and center, like with their private lives as much as possible. She didn't answer questions as much as you would think a public figure was. So, and I'm just wondering if like historians are going to look back on this and see the passing of Queen Elizabeth as like the beginning of the end for the monarchy. Cause it seems like she hadn't been gone that long and we're already in this like really, you know, crucial state where nobody seems to be handling the PR very well.
Yeah, though it's interesting that the Crown, we saw all these like people's marriages ending and infidelities and everything, and it's funny that all of this is based on real life. And apparently three of Queen Elizabeth's children all ended their marriage within like a year and a half of each other. So it's not like this is the first time there's been some big scandals.
Yes, but it doesn't seem like King Charles is able to handle the fallout the way Queen Elizabeth did.
Yeah, especially not if he's sick. So. Mm. I don't know. It's just like, I feel bad for anybody who really, really cares. Because for me, it's just kind of like an interesting mental exercise and everything. But, you know, I hope everybody's okay. It's just fine.
Yeah, well, in less related to reality news, I do still want to see the movie The Marvels at some point, just because I don't like the idea of everybody brushing it off as, oh, well, Marvel went woke. And then just like, nobody gave the movie a chance. Nobody was ever going to give the movie a chance. And the bits that I've seen, little snippets, look kind of fun. So I wanted to start over from the beginning of that saga. So I rewatched Captain Marvel.
Yes.
And it's fun. It's actually as fun as I remember it. It's set in a fun time period with fun music. I like all the characters. My God, the special effects for when she's, you know, pulling out her Captain Marvel powers. Very cool. Extremely nice. Cool. So yeah, and I'm going to try to finish up the Ms. Marvel TV series next. I've only got only watched a couple of episodes of that so far. It's just, I want to give everything a chance, and at the same time, I'm really tired.
Yeah, it's that Marvel fatigue. Every time I see some new Marvel thing, I'm like, man, some of it's probably going to be good, but there's been some stuff that's come out. Like, unfortunately, I hear that She-Hulk, I wanted that one to succeed too, and I don't necessarily trust, you know, people on the internet yelling about having a female main character or whatever, but I did hear in general that it just wasn't that good.
It's probably one of those things. It's not bad, but it's sort of on the level of one of the later series of Daredevil or something. It's just
right.
Doesn't measure up, unfortunately.
I guess.
But in news of what I want to see, Nathan and I do actually want to get out and see the second Dune movie at Alamo Drafthouse.
Me too.
We thought about doing it last Saturday or last Thursday, but both of the times that we checked the ticket sales, the only seats were available were on the very front row. And that's not terrible, because that's how I watched Avengers Endgame and it was fine. But it's just, the Dune movies are so epic in scale, and I really want to be able to appreciate the entire screen and not just like that narrow band that I could see right in front of me.
Yeah, exactly. I really want a good experience for that one, but I've been waiting for the crowds to die down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And it's interesting that there's so many people talking about the fact that so many people don't get the fact that Paul is a bad guy in Dune, and he actually turns into a tyrant and a despot, and I'm like, I don't know that I focused on that so much when I was reading the books. I thought he was a tragic figure that was caught up in his own legacy and the fact that everything that he did to try to stop the horrible things that he saw happening in the future just gave him the power to bring those horrible things about.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just so odd that so many people are talking about him being an actual villain, and that maybe the director in this case is trying to bring that out with some of the interpretations of the story.
It could be. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I know certainly in later books he got to be a little bit more tyrannical, I suppose, especially in the really later books. I mean, God, if people could see God Emperor of Dune, holy cow.
Well, that was his son, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess you're right, come to think of it. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right, it is.
It's been a while since I read any of those books. And I know Nathan gave up on God Emperor of Dune. No, actually, it wasn't that. It was Children of Dune that he gave up on, because he started seeing the path that they were going down with one of his favorite characters and just noped out of there.
Yeah, I can see that too. That's fine. So in non-movie news, I'm actually reading that book that you had reviewed a while ago, Legends and Lattes.
Oh, isn't that fun? Oh. Isn't that just so cozy?
It is so cozy. I mean, it's just, what is it? It's like a book of, I don't know, what is it, high fantasy and low stakes?
High fantasy and low stakes, yep. It's meant to not be stressful.
It's nice. I'm really enjoying that.
Good, yeah. And I enjoyed Bookshops and Bone Dust almost as much as that first one. But it's a prequel, so I'm sort of hoping that if he writes a third book, he'll continue the stories of the current characters. But it's all fun.
Good. Well, I guess that'll wrap us up for the week, so make sure to check out PixelatedGeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. It's a little less than 2 weeks as of time of this recording till WonderCon.
Ooh. Can't wait. I want to see the pictures.
Oh, yeah. And I think I might just bring my Vulcan costume this time.
Which okay.
is basically this nice Star Trek dress and boots and put my ears on. I just have to make sure my ears didn't disintegrate because that latex stuff, sometimes it just gets all crumbly and dies.
Yeah. And how many days does WonderCon last anyway?
3. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay. Cool. Well, you can always bring your cyberpunk costume. I do at some point I want to bring my steampunk costume somewhere, but it is fun to wear a costume for a character that you actually recognize, because there were I remember when you and I were steampunk and cyberpunk, and we did get a few questions about, oh, what are you guys cosplaying as? And we'd tell them, they're just, you know, nobody was mean, but it's all like, oh, it's one of your own things, it's not an existing property. Yeah,
right, it's true. I wore it for a few years, and yeah, I got that question a lot, and after a while you're just like, it looks nice anyway.
Oh, so I watched some of the videos about making costumes and cosplayers giving techniques and whatever. And sometimes I really wish I was more into anime and Japanese video games than I am, because, oh my God, the costumes that you could make for some of that stuff. Just so pleasing to the eye.
Yeah, and every time I see a really cool costume and I have no idea what it is, we always say it's either a video game or it's anime.
Yep, that's it. Pie in the Sky is to actually do a Transformers comic at some point, but seeing how long it's taken me to actually do the EmojiBot costume, and what was that, like 12 years ago that episode of Doctor Who aired? I need to take it slow or hire an assistant.
Oh boy, yeah. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week we have Laura Olympus.
Laura Olympus. I'm still watching those Fast Pass teaser images, and things are rocketing along.
Oh boy, oh boy. And I'm sure there'll be something else in the nerd world that will capture our attention. So one way or the other, we'll talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
Over. We actually have the weather first.
Oh, shoot. That's right. Sorry. Let's try that again.